Reading from the Priya Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 6, is Book 1, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Vakya Tattva Vidyaya. Chiragokulabhasena tatayajanasammita. Sri Parikshit said, because Rohini had long lived in Gokula, its residents held her in high regard. She knew the inner meaning of Buddha's words, so with tears in her eyes, she decided to speak. Commentary, despite the precautions taken by Uddhava, there was no way to stop Krishna's intimate devotees from unintentionally turning their conversation towards the pure devotion. That the people of Nandavraja had exclusive possession of Krishna's mercy was an essential truth too irresistibly attractive to be kept covered. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Taksuran Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayedacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now I got to figure out how to mute the phone here. One second. Forgot how to mute the phone. What is it? Star something with me. Okay. Anyway. Ricky, do you know the code to mute the phone? What's the code to mute the phone from my side?
Star 7.
Okay. I got it. Thanks. So, greetings from Gail, let me know. Greetings from Moscow. I'm being hosted so wonderfully by a devotee named Anna, who brought me to Moscow and organizes. And such nice people. They have a beautiful, beautiful apartment, and I'm here with Akinchana Krishna, and Goshi is a wonderful young devotee who is also a beautiful kirtanier, and Jagadish, who brought me here. And they just gave us their whole apartment. They moved to their parents' place. Beautiful, beautiful place. And I just, mother was, high in the military, and it's such a nice people. We had a nice chat. That's good. Okay, I'm gonna figure out how to mute this thing. One second. Okay, that's better. You know, they rented a nice place, and I've been giving lectures, and we have nice kirtans. Lucky, all I wanted was the code. I got it now. I got your message. And then yesterday we had we had three programs. There's many people here that went on a tour to Vrindavan, different tours, and they met me there. So we congregated here, and we had a nice program. And then there's a Jagannath temple, and we went program there, and then they were having a kirtan with the Krishna, like, several hours. And then I'm writing an article called Why Kirtan Gives the Most Bliss. And maybe each class, especially today, it's just easier for me to speak this way because just getting the phone and getting just the why kirtan gives the most bliss. And I'm giving many, many reasons. But one is when we chant mantra, it's not just the syllable. It's the conviction that makes the pure. You say something, if you don't mean it, it won't have the same entreaty, it won't have the same potency. If you're asking or begging someone for something, but you're not really in need, not see it. An intelligent person, he'll understand that the words are not commensurate, they're not equal with one's want or desire. So in chanting mantra, in chanting the holy name and doing kirtan, the key is to make the syllables and the meaning of the with really your intention or the intention or heart is what makes something pure. What made pure devotional service, bhakti means intention is pure. So God is by our intention, not just the syllables. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta therefore said we should make our chanting not just lip deep, but we should make it heart deep. He said, like when you're shooting a gun, a sound may be there, but if there's no bullets, if it's just a blank, the real objective or potency won't there. So similarly, the name almost can just become a sound if it doesn't have the bullet of conviction that we, you know, added to it. I mean, there's potency there. It's the holy name. But the real potency is the conviction. So it's the conviction which manifests in the mantra that actually petitions the Lord for mercy. So if the concept of petition, there's a concept of group petition. That's why kirtan is so powerful, because kirtan petition. And when I'm writing this article, Why Kirtan Gives the Most Bliss, I'm also giving Shastric references for every statement that I say. So the support of group petition is the story when the world was overburdened by an unnecessary defense force of demonic kings, right there in the beginning of the Krishna book, the Krishna story. Then Mother Bhumi, the earth, went to Lord Brahma for some help. And then Lord Brahma went to petition the Supreme Lord on the bank of the milk ocean. But he did not go along. He came with all the demigods. So the question arises, why in Lord Brahma's petition did he bring along the demigods? And the commentaries say that it wants to demonstrate that worship together is more powerful than solitary or worship alone. And therefore it recommends that if possible, when one is worshiping God and is comes, which is why it was important here with this Anna. She has very good relationships with her parents. In fact, her parents gave her this beautiful place to stay, which she's given us to stay for our stay in Moscow. And that's why I was very concerned to meet her husband and meet her family. because she's very sincere in spiritual life, and I want to help her in spiritual life. And the support of the family is very healthy. Endeavor, especially when you have very good relationship with the family, which she does. And when the father left, he's actually from he's a Muslim. And when the father left, you know, he said to me, one of the reasons we got this good apartment, he said, so it's because it's near the airport, and it would make it easier for you to come. So it was kind of successful. But it's nice. I spoke about that at this big kirtan in the temple, the main temple in Moscow, when I went. And when I got there at the end of the kirtan, and they stopped the kirtan and then asked me to speak. That was the plan. I spoke about this, why kirtan gives the most bliss. So that's one of the reasons. But I have four reasons listed. I have references to explain how shared bliss helpful experience than individual bliss. That's one of the principles of bhakti, bodhiyatasparasvam. The devotees take pleasure together. And there's a potency when Krishna sees there's unity in worship. I wish I could find this reference because I just thought about this. When there's unity in worship, then there's a special descent of mercy. Shared bliss, many references for that, is more powerful than individual bliss. But I gave the image of Lord Chaitanya, on Lord Chaitanya when he's about to take sannyas, 24 years old, the most lovable object. Will be leaving their home, and in those days, when someone takes sannyas, he doesn't return to his own, his village. So, devotees loved Lord Chaitanya, but he knew he was leaving, so that day especially opened up his heart, he opened up his... It's a beautiful image of the devotees exchanging love. This relationship, it's reciprocal. And there's nothing more pleasing than a good relationship. And if you don't have them, you don't have life. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have good relationship, at least one, then there's no happiness in your life. So... it's so nice to hear about good relationship and aspire for that, especially in relationship with the divine, where good relationships can become perfect relationships. And it's so satisfying because what we are by constitution is we're particles of consciousness, particles of the parts of the supreme consciousness, and we're meant to be receptacles for God's bliss potency called bhakti, which God must place away outside of himself. Because love requires a subject of love. God's the object of love. He requires a subject for him to be the object of love. So we're required to be, for God, the subject of love. And our constitution, our nature, is love. It's to be a receptacle of that love. That's our dharma, our intrinsic nature. That's our essence. That's why Prabhupada gave a very apropos example of how love is the quality in us that cannot be taken away. The gender can be taken away, the position can be taken away, the nationality can be taken away, which means that those things are external to ourselves. But what's intrinsic in ourselves is our nature. And what is that intrinsic nature? It's to love and serve. Nipple Prophet gave a practical example of an old lady whose husband died and had no children, and she gets a dog. You can't take away that desire to sin, but the perfect, what's the perfect worshipable object that can be a proper receptacle for our desire to serve? And that's God, because God is real, Artha, and he's eternal. So there's no duality in that service. There's no sense of serving an object that will soon be gone, which means that you get as much pain from the service as you get as much as you get pleasure from the service. So, Bhakti Anand, so we're meant to be those receptacles of devotion. And when we share that experience with others, then the bliss of doing it becomes even more relishable. And there's reference to that. Another reason that I was going to give about the power of kirtan is just the nature of music. And according to Shastra, the very deep intrinsic quality of music that rings even within our soul, our samskaras, or our nature, so what you're attracted to, you focus. The mantra is in music. So even if you're not attracted to mantra, you're attracted to music. Your mind will go towards the music, and when your mind goes towards the music, you also get the mantra. And you have a relationship with the mantra. When we focus on that mantra for a certain period of time, even if we're not intrinsically attracted to it in one sense, the attraction arises. And therefore, even if you're not attracted, if you listen to the music and then the music is the mantra, then after a while, the devotion, your relationship with that mantra begins to well in the heart. And when that relationship with the mantra begins to well in the heart, then you feel love and you feel pleasure. And therefore, hopefully many of us experience, even without having controlled minds, being able to do kirtan for long periods of time if we either are attracted to the music or surrender to the process. So I got to speak about that. Any other subjects, and tomorrow night, the same place, I'm speaking about bhakti, and such a nice quality of people, many of them coming back from the previous time to hear. So it's nice to share your realizations with others. Anyway, it's all booked up, and then I look forward to come back and return for our, people call it the Panihati, even though we're not celebrating that festival on that day. We can call it the Panihati Festival, which seems to be really developing a real super nice way. Now, the story, okay, we have Narada's search, his search for the topmost devotee. Because if you want bhakti, you have to go to the reservoir of bhakti, devotee is the devotees. God. God has devotion for the devotees, but the devotees have devotion for God. We want devotion for God and to the devotees, and the devotees have devotion for God and the devotees. So if you want devotion, you have to go to the devotees. As a spiritual figure par excellence. Which means that he's enthusiastic, attracted to. He's attracted to bhakti. If you're attracted to bhakti or devotion, you're attracted to the devotee who has bhakti. And he's searching for the topmost devotee. And he now has come to Dwarka, where Krishna now resides as a king. So he was told that Krishna's highest devotee, closest devotee, is a guru. He's Krishna's cousin. He looks exactly like Krishna. But that's as important as looking like Krishna. But Krishna's in his heart. He's an extraordinary confidant of Krishna, and he's one with Krishna. He's one with Krishna in the sense that he's taken the desire of Krishna. I gave examples, and I've seen this, where sons look and act like fathers when they have respect for fathers. You embody mannerisms, nature. Love Krishna, and he's born in the same, his cousins with Krishna. And in his enthusiasm, he comes into Krishna's palace because he knows the topmost devotees will be near Krishna. And Krishna's great devotees are by Krishna, because Krishna has great love for the resident Vrindavan. So at night, sometimes Krishna dreams of that and even talks in his sleep, and even sometimes holds his hand and begins to blow his flute. Because your dreams reflect your consciousness. That's the scary thing. The dream really reflects what's in your mind. And in Bhagavad Gita, why it's scary, Bhagavad Gita said, Tsmanam Bhavam Tajantyam Tekovaram Pintamevam Kampya Data Bhavam. So, your nature comes in your dream. Okay, I'm back. Can anyone hear me?
Oh.
You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I was off for a while. It's never easy to give class with the concentration, and then, but we'll try to go. So, anyway, Narada approaches Uddhava finally and glorifies Nathan as a great. Narada's guru. He's guru for everyone. He's guru for Uddhava. So Uddhava says, yes, that's true. What you say is true. But then, because he's not happy being glorified, which is such a wonderful, wonderful, natural quality, that because we're interested, love, we're not interested in our own aggrandized. When you actually have that experience and realization, then you're interested in the object love. And you're not interested in your own aggrandizement. And because your own aggrandizement can make you proud and damn your love, you try to shun it. When you're proud, you feel deserving, and you lack appreciation, and therefore you can't feel kindness and love. And therefore, a person who is proud cannot be a happy person. Because a happy person is a person who can appreciate and experience the love of God and the mercy that God bestows. So Uddhava naturally shuns that, and he expresses very frankly that when he came to Vrindavan, his pride was crushed because he saw a level of devotion far exceeded his own. His devotion was perfect, but still, this devotion that's more perfect. It's just like the mother's love for the child may be perfect, with a child now reaching maturity, a lover, the son may meet with child, may have a lover, and the flavor and intimacy of that love is greater. So it doesn't mean that the mother's love, motherly love, is not perfect, but because of the nature of that love, it may not have the passion and intensity of another type of love. Of course, the love of the mother in this world is generally considered the most selfless, but in intensity, the conjugal relationship is deeper. And in the spiritual world, where there's no tinge of selfishness in any love, the intensity of that relationship also correlates into an intensity of love. And Uddhava goes to Vrindavan, and he sees that intensity of love of the gopis, who are still in separation, even though Krishna left many, many years ago. And there's still an intense separation, and not only an intense separation, but that intensity is increased. Until that they're in such a high state of love that they're transcendentally mad. Their love is so great that when Krishna is not there, they sometimes, Radharani would see a dark tamal tree, which is the color of Krishna, and her emotional state, which is an intense desire to please Krishna. So it's the most selfless sense of love flowing through the heart. What flows through the heart determines our happiness. If love and selflessness flows through the heart deeply, then that's the greatest joy. If ambition and pride and an intense selfish desire flows through the heart, if lust flows through the heart, it burns. The gopis have a sense of purity of love, and when he sees that love, he goes to one field between Barsana and Nandagram. It's one field, and the gopis are just sitting in this field, forest, and they're in a great state, and he sees their love. He's just astounded. And any sense that Uddhava had in Dwarka was crushed to pride. This is a very, very mundane example. You know, I was a brahmachari, and I was considered a very good brahmachari, good celibate student, very serious, studious. And then because of that, at a very young age, I was only 32, I was asked if I want to take sannyas. Then I took sannyas, and I went from one category, which I identified the brahmacharis, which I had pride as being the best of the brahmacharis, and then I went to the sannyasis. And I was new in that, and then I was, on the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, and I saw these exalted souls. So it's like that. He shifted from one category to other. He was in Dwarka, where Krishna was a king, and even though there was intimacy with Krishna, because Krishna was in a superior position, bears some obligation or duty to worship him. And that obligation or duty weakens the love to some extent. But when he goes to Vrindavan, and there's this love, and he sees it flowing from the hearts of the gopis, what's the essence of the Bhagavatam? according to Ishvara Puri and his instructions to Lord Chaitanya, what is the essence of the Bhagavatam? It says, Evam Vrita, Supriya Nama Krita Jatana. In this way, it means without inhibition, without attachment. So even in Dwarka, where Krishna is a king, there's some inhibition, but in Vrindavan, where he's just a cowherd boy, there's no inhibition. It's spontaneous. It's forceful. It's deep attachment. And when Krishna is gone, the force of that absence makes the heart grow fonder. The force of that love is, and he's seeing it in these ecstatic symptoms, jopa prati jopa, Radharani, he's talking like a madman, mad woman. And she sees the bumblebee, which is dark, reminds him of Krishna, thinks this must be Krishna's messenger, and begins to chastise the bumblebee. He's gone, look at me, he's watching. She's saying, you're the unreliable servant of an unreliable. And he's watching this. Due to love, they're in a complete stupor of love. There's no other consideration. It's just emotion for Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hey, Radhe, Brajadevate, Chalalite. Hey, Nandasuno Kuta. Where is Krishna? Krishna, Krishna. Where is Krishna? Krishna, Krishna. Where is Krishna? But in Dwarka, even though there's love, there's consideration. This is the king. I have to, you know, I better be careful. There's other things that come in. And then there's another state of love where, you know, you're functioning spontaneously, but I have to do my housework now. I have to do, you know, there's so many things. It's on, but here, it's just madness. It's only Krishna and Krishna. And when Krishna is absent, it puts Krishna so much to the forefront of their consciousness that they're mad. So Uddhava goes to Vrindavan. And he's so qualified to carry a message from Krishna to the gopis. And he just looks at it and says, hey, that's it. I'm not a devotee. Sorry. And if I had any pride of being a devotee, I'm crushed. And then he's telling Narada, and since I've understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, because he's seeing it. Because out of love, they're always saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's so sweet. It's the name Krishna. It's the kirtan of Krishna. But it's with the deepest conviction of love. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hey, Krishna. What is it? Krishna, Krishna. What is it? Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam. So there's such a sweetness of Krishna's mercy. Krishna gave himself so much to the gopis that there's indelible impressions in their hearts of attachment to Krishna. This actually is bhakti. By chanting and hearing about Krishna, we get impressions in mind of love for Krishna. And those impressions in the mind of love for Krishna begin to attract the attention of Krishna. Let's see, I have a note here about that. Something from the Yoga Sutras, just because I've been studying that for a class I'm giving. Says, by the practice of the repetition of Om, one can develop the devotion whereby the presence of the Lord is felt everywhere in all circumstances and all phenomena. So one's chanting, this is our practice, we chant the mantra, it's Krishna, we're Krishna. and our consciousness becomes colored with Krishna. It's just like glasses become colored red. You see everything red. So the detachment for Krishna is so much that we're seeing Krishna everywhere. And it's a fact, Krishna is everywhere because nothing is outside of Krishna. So the devotee becomes thrilled. Existence becomes thrilling because existence is Krishna. And by repeating the sound and thinking of its meaning from the very substance of the mind, so after a while, the attachment is so strong that that's the only impression that one has in the consciousness. In other words, the chitta becomes saturated with samskara, psychological imprints connected to God. This results in a feeling of bliss. Moreover, the Lord then becomes gracious. Such a devotee rewards him samadhi. The devotee wants Krishna. His mind is inclined to Krishna. And Krishna sees through the actions, the words, the mind, the thoughts of that devotee, that that's what his consciousness is. Krishna, 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 Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates. You want me so much? Here is the essence of my bliss potency. And that's put in the consciousness of the devotee. That's the goal for a devotee, is to get Bhava Bhakti. And Bhava Bhakti comes after Asakti. Asakti means that there's imprints of just Krishna in the consciousness. Our attachments, if we silence our minds, and we look in our heart, we can see what a level of attachment is by what desires are I'm hungry. I want to have this member of the opposite sex. I want to have wealth. I want position. I want revenge. Or I want Krishna. Mixture of both. But in bhakti, in real asakti, the practice of associating with mantra, and chanting all the time, and serving all the time, and surrendering to all the time, then one's mind becomes filled with these attractions to Krishna, until the voice in the heart is not only singularly Krishna, but it's loud. And then God sees that this soul has the desire to serve him, and therefore God bestows upon that devotee his bhakti shakti, his potency, which he does not do very easily, because if that bhakti shakti is in the devotee's heart, then that love attracts Krishna and shakti and controls Krishna. Krishna will only give it when someone is qualified. So this is what he sees. He sees, understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, of their love for him. They got Krishna's love, and they love Krishna. And he sees the quality of a person who can actually act as a reciprocal for Krishna's own devotional potency. So he's just amazed, and then he understands that I've been blessed by seeing this, because by seeing this, I've become influenced by an ocean of mercy. It's just like in India, when someone dies, all the women circle the body, and they start to beat their chests and wail. It's just the culture. And it's just a healthy thing. You know, the husband dies, it's the father, and the woman's been married for 50 years, and she starts wailing, and then the grandchildren, and they're wailing, and then the other ladies in the village wail. And then, if you look at that part, then automatically you start wailing. So it's like that. He sees that, he's attracted to that. And he gets swept away by the ecstasy. And when he becomes swept away by that ecstasy by associating with the gopis, and then he feels, wow, I got the mercy. I got the mercy too. And he tells Narada quite frankly that, you know, everyone knows well what I did, what happened to me, what I sang in my ecstasy of seeing the gopis, what I sang. Everyone knows about that, and what desire I had and what I did. This, everyone knows that I prayed. Asammaho charanarenu jasammaham sam vrindavane kim api guma. Asammaho charanarenu jasammaho. I don't know which one is this. Anyway, he's saying the gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who are up and have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda Krishna. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. Oh, let me become just Chaudhanarenu. Chaudhanarenu, let me become the dust of the feet. And O best of the sages, I bow down to you again and again, and I beseech you, please curb your eagerness to relish these various affairs. So Narada is coming because he wants to hear the heart of Uddhava. He wants to hear that bhakti that Uddhava has from seeing the ecstasy of the gopis. He wants to hear it, and he's telling Uddhava, now tell me about this. And Uddhava is saying, well, I have this love, but curb it now, quiet. Not now. And he says not now because he understands if they start talking about the ecstasy of the gopis, then Krishna, who's already in this stupor from dreaming about the gopis and feeling separation, Krishna will be completely devastated and disturbed. And not only that, some of Krishna's wives will be also disturbed, not Rukmini, but others. Friction, you know, so wonderful. Friction, this is his last day of his life, and he gets to tell the Brihat Bhagavad Gita and to his mother. And he says, Rohini, because Rohini had long lived in Gokula, its resident held her in high regard. She knew the inner meaning of Uddhava's words. What is the inner meaning of Uddhava's word? Narada, curb your eagerness. Why? You're going to make a disturbance. Krishna's going to hear you. And even though she knew that inner meaning, she began to cry and she spoke. Despite precaution by Uddhava, you can't stop Krishna's intimate devotees from turning the conversation to pure devotion of Krishna. Because there's no inhibition. And this is so irresistible not to discuss. It's just like when one has envy, he cannot stop his criticism of people. It's too relishable for their attachment. But a pure devotee means the attachment is only Krishna, and it's addicting, it's forceful, he cannot stop. Rohini said, alas, dear servant of Srihari, the residents of Vraja have by evil fate been all but slain. They have lost their last trace of good fortune and are drowning in an ocean of gloom. There they suffer, poisoned and scorched, in the flames of an underwater fire. So please do not destroy my moment of happiness by reminding me of any of them. So Rohini, she's Balaram's mother, and she was in Vrindavan, and she's very attached to the residents of Vrindavan. She also asks, Narada, don't bring this up. It's just too painful. The neglect of the residents of Vrindavan by Krishna. I think I'll have to stop now. According to the circumstances, I kind of did my best here. Anybody like to ask any question? Or say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna, thank you.
I had like 1.5 questions. When you were talking about the mourning ladies who are wailing and
yeah.
Everybody starts wailing.
Yeah.
And you said that was healthy. Did you say that?
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know if it's just, it seems when someone dear to you is gone, then a good cry is good for you. It's the only, you want to express your love. Yeah, rather than keep the emotions in, I think it's healthy.
I wanted to go actually back to the very beginning of your talk when you were talking about kirtan. But
yeah.
I wanted to ask this for a really long time. You know, you always say that the kirtan is so effective because even if your mind would go to the senses, it's still going to get absorbed by Krishna. But what if you're in kirtan and you can still get distracted in kirtan unless you're talking about like something really ecstatic.
Okay, well I'll modify my statement. It's harder to get distracted because you're in a kirtan, and at least the ears, the sound is. It's a spiritual process that forcibly enters into the heart. The sound vibration actually goes within you. So even if the mind shuts off to a certain extent, it is still a constant reminder, But meditation, it's a little bit more difficult. This meditation withdraws the senses. So once you break your meditation, it's easier to forget. And we see it very practically that people generally have a much more a success of long periods of absorption in kirtan than they do in japa.
Mm-hmm.
So you look. Okay, I'm sitting in the bhakti center, and they're having these incredible kirtans, and I'm sitting in one corner. And, I really try to close my eyes, and I really try to meditate, I really try to pray, and I do that. When that kind of breaks, and, the meditation breaks, and my mind goes to the senses, and I look around, what do I see? I see devotees who are doing kirtan. And I see another person in ecstasy, or, a person really concentrating, a person chanting. And at the same time, what am I hearing? I'm hearing the music. I'm hearing the sound. So it's definitely designed for this age of distraction as a very effective means of absorption. And you see that too. How many people that are not even devotees are attracted to kirtan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, just one last quick thing.
I have one question.
Uh-huh.
What was the half question?
Oh, that was the one about the railing women.
Okay. Well, and I'm going to put you do to me, Gail. How is that a half question?
Because, you know, it wasn't like, you know, that it wasn't like a major question.
Okay. I got it. Okay.
But can I go to Rukmini? Do you remember when you were mentioning?
Can I ask you a half question?
Yes.
Why is? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I asked you a half question. Now that's a half question, Gail.
I can't answer that, Laura.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, give you some of your own medicine. Okay. All right. Okay, you had one more question, Gail?
Yeah, real quick. Do you remember when you were talking about Rukmini? And you just mentioned her briefly. You said that when you were talking about the fact that...
like Satyabhama would get jealous. But Rukmini had a particular type of love for Krishna that even when Krishna glorified the gopis, she just thought Krishna was great.
I'll see you Friday.
Okay, Gail?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hello.
Who's that? Who's it?
Indrani.
Oh, Indrani. Greetings from Moscow.
Thank you, spiritual warrior. Thank you so much for the class.
Thank you, Mother Indrani.
It makes me desire more and more to get the true love of God. Thank you for keeping reminding us how to work at it.
You're not just speaking words. Your words are always so mixed with your love and conviction and heart. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Amir. We'll see you next week.
I'm just
okay.
Into the cell to go to the Bhakti Center, so I'm going to lose it very quickly.
Oh, okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Very nice. And say hello to everyone there for me. Thank you.
Yes,
anybody
sir,
else
thank
like
you.
To say hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal, very well. Good. Anybody else?
Hari Bol Maharaj.
Is this Chaitanya Priya?
It is.
Oh, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nice to hear from you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpa Guru Dishaka Pasufi.